Well, the National Party still opposes any stronger greenhouse emissions cut, despite the UN report warning that a human-driven climate crisis is already underway. The Junior Coalition Party says that it won't sign up to a decarbonised economy by 2050 until it knows how a net zero target can be met without imposing costs on households or hurting regional Australia. Independent MP Helen Haynes says the stubbornness of the Nats puts them badly out of step with the bush, which is bearing the brunt of climate-fuelled disasters.
Regional communities are already carrying this burden. Drought, bushfires, floods and future trade costs. But the regions are smart and ready to seize new opportunities, opportunities like community-owned renewable energy. You're standing in the way. Why won't you show the leadership that we need and commit to net zero emissions by 2050?
That's Helen Haynes in Question Time. She's the member for the regional seat of Indi. Well, Barnaby Joyce is National Party leader and Deputy Prime Minister. Barnaby Joyce, welcome back to Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran, and good morning, your listeners. The reason why is because nobody is telling us exactly what's involved in the plan. If you're going to just make an arbitrary claim, oh, we'll get to 2050, that's fine, understand the emotion, understand almost the moral perspective of it, but you must lay down the plan. If the plan is we're all going to go to electric vehicles in Sydney and Melbourne and around the nation, fine. How are you going to do it? Where's the power going to come from that's actually going to drive it? How's that plan? What's the cost that comes on other people who need to buy EVs? If there's budgetary savings that's required because costs means that other people have to be compensated for what they do. Are other people prepared to take the cuts? Is the ABC prepared to take the cuts? If we have to find the budgetary savings for the compensation for people who are affected in regional areas, what exactly is the plan? We know the IPCC talks about 15% that's coming from agriculture. Okay, what do they deem to be the baseline of soil carbon before we start nominating soil carbon? Because that can be an arbitrary figure.
Okay, what but exactly? with respect, Barnaby Joyce, you're the Deputy Prime Minister of this government. Yeah. It's your government that you're asking to come up with a plan. Where are you at with the plan?
Well,
where is it?
No, hang on. We don't actually come up with a plan. The CSIRO, other competent people come up with a plan.
Oh, come on. The government has to be driving this. You're right, that the Minister, David Littleproud, is working with his department to come up with the soil carbon levels. Angus Taylor is working with his ministry. So where is it at? Have you gone and spoken to them all?
Right at this stage, we're doing Snowy Hydro 2, which is obviously creating a battery to back up renewables. We have to also ask, with the expansion of renewables, there's in certain areas, there's real community pushback because, as you well know, they wouldn't accept wind towers off the coast of Manly, and they wouldn't accept wind towers in many areas where they're within sight of suburban areas. So we're getting the same pushback, not in all areas, but in many areas of regional Australia. We've got to understand that if you're going to have an expansion of renewables, and that is part of the plan. Fran, that is what's happening. Snowy Hydro is part of the plan. That is what is happening. But you've got to understand that as you go down this process, exactly, what is the cost and who is paying it.
Otherwise, I understand that.
You're making an answer to the equation without actually telling the people the numbers that got there. Now, the Labor Party, if they believe in this so fervently, they can legislate it. They can tell the Australian people that
you're the government. You're the one who should be legislating things. Are you leading the charge?
I'm telling you right now that we don't believe in legislating it until we have a clear understanding of exactly where the costs are. Otherwise, you just have an open book and you can basically do what you want. Now, I know it wouldn't happen because it's politically untenable. But to show to people in urban areas, if we said we're going to reach the plan by closing down three lanes of the Sydney Harbour Bridge and mandating EVs, Sydney would go under uproar, and rightly so, because they'll say,
we're in the land of $200 lamb roast now, or $400, I can't quite remember what it was. I mean, let's deal with the here and now.
Which people said would never happen when I suggested it some years ago. Anyway, go on.
Yeah, and it didn't happen. I don't pay $200 for a lamb roast. I don't know where you get yours.
I said $100, and it actually in some areas is approaching that, but go on.
Have you read much of the IPCC report?
Well, it's been leaked strategically over a number of days, and I get that. But I'll tell you one thing.
No, it's not been leaked. It's been published. It's been published.
It came out on Monday, but they were leaking it out over the weekend. But I understand that. That's.
Have you read some of it? Have you read some of the summary?
Yes. Yeah, look, if you just give me a chance to answer, Fran, I'm going to give you some of it, right? One of the things is that they've shown exponential growth, or a dramatic growth, in coal emissions, right? Which is a presumption that coal-fired power plants are going to grow. Now, I don't agree with that, and there's some other areas that that in countervailing views on that also don't agree with it. So we've got to look at some of the details there. They talk about 15% coming from agriculture. Now, I understand that, but where is the reductions going to happen in agriculture? We need a clear idea of exactly what their intentions are. These are people, but the UN IPCC report obviously has people vastly more competent than me. I understand their concerns, but they've got to come up with a clear suggestions of the reductions. Now, if they're saying that coal is going to grow in its emissions, that is a suggestion that obviously the usage of thermal coal is going to grow, which means it, of course, leads to the next factor, which is, well, China and India must be using a lot more coal-fired power plants, which then goes against the argument that they're moving out of coal. And these are some of the issues that, you know, I don't want to denigrate it, but yes, I have been going through it, and there are issues that I have concerns with. And the biggest one, of course, is on the adoption of it. There has to be in Australia a clear understanding by competent authorities, which are not politicians, Fran, of, okay, if you're going to do this, this is how you do it.
Okay.
Now,
Minister, I just need to interrupt you there, because I've got a lot of listeners writing in, and a lot of them in preparation for this have written in and say, ask Barnaby Joyce about the costs of inaction. So you talk about a clear understanding of where the costs are. If we look at the impact that this IPCC report says increased emissions will have on particularly, you know, your constituents, we're talking about severe weather events, we're talking about droughts, we're talking about floods, we're talking about more cyclones, you know, don't we also need to, and have you looked at the costs of not taking the action?
Well, who's taking the action? If that's the issue, if you have a carte blanche and it doesn't matter, then we really can go back to saying, well, anything is moral, anything is allowed.
No,
so you really, if you do mandate electric vehicles for Sydney and other urban areas, then that's allowed, because the cost of inaction apparently has no remit of excess. You can do anything you like, and I don't think that is
I'm saying this is a balance sheet here.
Going back to the technical details which you tried to trap me on, so Dr. Peter Wynne of the CSIRO, and he's clear. Has clearly stated that the things such as soil carbon, you have to take into account where your baseline is.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what has already been accounted for and what hasn't been accounted for. And in previous IPCC reports, such as the one that was from South Korea, which is the previous one to this, they say quite clearly that you have to go to methane emissions. I mean, if you want to achieve this target, you have to go to methane emissions. And, of course, they're bovine ruminants, they're cattle. And, of course, I have a responsibility to regional people, not just farmers, people working in the abattoirs and everywhere else, and the money that goes into the community, to say, if that's part of the plan, we need to know about it. And we need to know about it so that we can be honest to our constituency and tell them that this is the cost and this is what you're paying. And I think that's one thing people don't like about politicians, when you bang things on them without telling them exactly what they're up for.
Okay, let me assure you, I'm not trying to trap you on anything, but we are going to run out of time, and I do need to talk to you about the pandemic that, you know, many millions of Australians are locked down at the moment, including yourself. National Party MP George Christensen caused a furor in the federal parliament yesterday when he called for an end to what he says is the COVID madness. He claims that, quote, lockdowns don't work, masks don't work. Do you condemn those views?
Yeah, I do. Look, I don't. My father was a vet, Fran, and we had to do the tuberculosis eradication plan and the brucellosis eradication plan, bovine tuberculosis. And this follows a very similar path. When I speak to my father, who's 97, says quite clear, it's vaccination, it's quarantine. Obviously, they're talking about cattle. It's prosecution for those who decide they don't want to comply. And it's explanation. You've got to explain clearly to people exactly why this is important. And I'm saying quite clearly, if it's not for your health reasons, it's for the economic reasons. We must get this economy going again. We cannot keep shutting it down because we cannot afford to. We just do not have an endless supply of support packages, because it's borrowed money that my children, grandchildren, possibly great-grandchildren have to pay back, and that must come to an end. So if you don't believe it on health grounds, believe it on economic grounds. So there's my answer.
So what are you going to do about George Christensen? Because the Prime Minister in response said yesterday, my government doesn't support misinformation in any way, shape or form. George Christensen, of course, is a member of the government.
Yeah.
Are you going to pull him into line?
I've had a conversation with him. That doesn't mean he's a slave of anybody. I mean, we believe in the person.
No, but when people hear him speak, can't they assume they're hearing the views of the government?
You're suggesting, Fran, that I can demand his silence and he will then therefore oblige. And if you have had George on your program and met George, as you have, you would know the likelihood of that is near zero.
So when you said you've spoken to him, in what terms? What was your message?
I mean, in English. I mean, well, you know, I spoke to him last night. You know, you can have a discussion. I do have a discussion. I respect his right to his opinion. It is not my opinion. And the sort of the belief that you can therefore tell another person in the parliament what to say from that point forward is obviously patently absurd.
No, of course it is, but we are in a time of a pandemic, and as I say, many people, their livelihoods are under threat, as you know. They're locked down.
I'm open to ideas of how we stop him from saying things he wants to say.
What I'm saying to you is, do you agree with Mike Freelander when his concern, for instance, his constituents are locked down at the moment, when he says, imagine the impact. If you're locked down in Sydney, you're a tradie or a manual worker, you're hearing this message from a member of parliament. Imagine what that does to your confidence in the advice.
Fran, I don't agree with him, okay? You're going up a dry gully with this. I don't agree with him. I'm in lockdown. I'm parked on the side of the road at Danglemar having this conversation with you. I'd rather be in Canberra in the middle of the debate. I'm here because we're in lockdown. Now, what else do you want? I mean, what you're asking is you say, Barnaby, go out there and muzzle George Christensen. Well, first of all, I'm not allowed to. I'm in lockdown. And tell him never to speak again. Well, you know that he's a free individual. He can say what he likes.
Barnaby Joyce, thank you very much for joining us. Thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure, Fran. You're welcome, Fran. Always a pleasure.
Barnaby Joyce is Leader of the Nationals and Deputy Prime Minister.